Part of my misspent youth was misspent reading a book or two about Bible prophecy. Books that said Jesus was coming back soon, in our generation, in fact, and to prove it, they would talk about a current event here and tie it to a Bible verse here. And another Bible verse plucked out of this book here that sort of applied to a current event here. And so on and so forth, knitting together a very impressive scheme of current events and biblical verses that together wove a very impressive timeline of what was happening now and what would soon happen and why Jesus would be coming back in our generation. The return to Israel of the Jews in 1948 was key. The formation of the European common market, very important, all foretold in the Bible. Then there was some highway being built in China. I never did figure out about that, and I haven't heard about it since. But all these combined to show that the last days were near. Christ was coming back very, very soon. And it was very convincing. So convincing, actually, that I remember going to see a movie back in the 70s called The Omen. They just remade it a few years ago, but see the 1970s version. It holds up really well. It's spooky. It's very spooky. And it's about the coming, the birth of the Antichrist, the child of the devil who has come to wreak havoc in the world before the second coming. So it's about this timeline thing. And I remember taking my girlfriend that summer, that college summer, to see this movie. We went to the Late Show. After the Late Show, we came back to, brought her back to her home. Her parents were already asleep upstairs, so we went into the den, and there we pulled out the family Bible. What was I thinking? We pulled out the family Bible to check out this movie that we'd seen, and these words that they had said that were scripture that predicted the coming of this Antichrist. And to be honest, we couldn't find it in the Bible anywhere. We just couldn't find this little rhyme that they'd quoted that was sort of the scriptural basis for the movie. But we were thinking about what does this mean? What does it say? What does this mean? Our lives are going to be cut short. And to be honest, even though I was into the church thing at that point, I wasn't too excited about Jesus coming back. And I mean, I wanted to see how the rest of my life was going to play out. You know, I was praying, well, come, Lord Jesus, but after I get a good head start. You know, I want to see how things go. But I really wanted to know, and it was very convincing, very much so. Until the day somebody pointed out to me the verse that we read a moment ago, where Jesus says, and he says this here in Mark, and he says it in other places in the Gospels as well, that no one knows the day or the hour that the Son of Man will come. No one, not even the Son, not even Jesus himself, knows the day or the hour. Well, then why, I wondered, why are we spending so much time in the church trying to figure that out? Why on earth are we doing that? It seems like it's not really our place to try to figure it out, is it? If only the Father knows. If not even Jesus knows, then why on earth should we be spending our energy, so much energy and so much time, trying to figure it out? And you know, if you walk into a bookstore, the Barnes & Noble today, and look, there are books and books and books and tapes and tapes and tapes and DVDs and DVDs and DVDs that will lay out for you various schemes of what's happening now. And again, tying a verse in the Bible to a current event and putting them together and another verse from another place and so on and so forth until there's this very impressive scheme for how these next few years are going to play out, culminating in the return of Jesus in this generation. Now, Presbyterians have not been very big on that. And here's why. Presbyterians are not been big on pulling a verse from the Bible here, and another verse from another book here, and another verse, another book here. That's not the way you read the Bible. You read the Bible by reading the stories and the verses of the Bible in their own context, and then interpreting those parts of the Bible in terms of other parts, but whole parts, not just verses plucked here and there. So Presbyterians have not been very big on this timeline of the end of the world. And that's why. It's because of the way we read the Bible. We read it in a very different way, honoring each part of the Bible for its own purpose, its own intent. And think about it for a minute. Think about it. If you really think these are the end days, then the book of Revelation was really written just for our time. For the last 2,000 years, the book of Revelation really hasn't had a message for anyone else, because all the things that are talked about in the book of Revelation really only refer to your time and mine. Doesn't that seem a little bit arrogant, of an arrogant way to read the Bible? That all these, this whole book of the Bible and so many other verses, really, they really haven't meant anything to anybody, not really, until now, until the generation that I happen to be living in. Now it's coming to pass. So I tell you today, no one knows the time or season of Christ's coming. No one knows. They thought they knew for centuries. You can look back in the history of the church. It's hard to find a 200-year period where there wasn't someone going off on a mountaintop thinking they had figured it out and it was going to happen now. 2000, you know, some people thought it was going to happen at the millennium. So most generations have had someone interpreting the Bible to mean that their generation would be the last one. But today I want to suggest that these words are written for every generation. That they're written for every time. That they have a message for every year. And so we read that precisely we do not know what day the Son of Man will return in power and glory. Because we don't know when, we should be ready every day. Because we do not know what season Christ will come back to judge the nations, we're to be ready every season. Because we don't know in what moment Jesus will return to bring all of creation to its fulfillment, we're to be ready every moment. Like Jesus said, if you were one of the servants of the householder and the householder was gone and you didn't know when he was going to return, you'd be sure to have everything in order every day, just in case that was the day that your boss came back. So you act as though your boss is coming home today, and then you're prepared. It's the same way with our faith. We act as though Jesus is coming back today, then whatever you're doing, when he comes back, you'll be caught being God's person, whatever it is that you're doing. If you're in a field breaking sweat, you're God's person there, so you'll be fine. If you're having a conversation by your locker with friends, you're covered. You're being God's person there. You're fine. If you're in the office hard at work, you're God's person there. You're fine. If you're doing laundry at home, chasing your kids, you're being God's person there. You're fine. Whatever it is you do in this life of yours, you live as though Christ is on the way. You assume Christ is watching and paying attention, and you act accordingly, and then, no matter when Jesus comes, you'll be fine. You know, there's a lot of talk in those circles of the church that are concerned about the end times with a timeline, the chronology, with a sort of a clock that's running. But you know, there is a clock running. Whether it's the clock toward the fulfillment of all things, that may well be running, but there's another clock running, and that's the clock that each of us have, a clock that has the precise number of days and minutes and hours and seconds that we have in the rest of our lives. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, your clock is running. And it does not stop. I mean, we all know that a clock like that exists, though none of us knows how much time is left on it. We know the meter is running, but we live our lives usually as though there's no such thing. And that, I think, is Jesus' point. No matter what generation you live in, that the clock is running. And we need to pay attention to the fact that our personal timelines are moving right along, and that each of them has an end. Now, that realization can be depressing. We'd rather think of our time as limitless, but that just isn't the truth. We know that our time has a limit. We know our days are numbered. But if you get beyond the depressing aspect of that, the fact that our time is limited is actually what gives our life meaning. I really did say that. The fact that our time is limited is what gives our lives meaning. Because if life lasted forever, there'd be no need to make any choices at all. None. We'd have time to make all the choices. We'd have time to choose all the options. We could answer every question, D, all of the above. There'd be no reason to do the good deed now. We can always do it later. There's no need to be the good husband or good father in this particular moment because I'll have time to do that later. There's no need to learn the most that we can to make the morally right decision to reach out in compassion now because I can always do that later. No need to be God's person. No need to be part of God's people. No need to seek to make a difference in this love-forsaken world we live in. We can always do it later. But because time has a limit, because our lives are not endless, we have to make choices. And we cannot choose all the options. So our choices matter. Our decisions have consequences. And so, be alert. Be awake, Jesus says. That's one of the great rules of the spiritual life, is be awake. Pay attention. Live wisely. The Psalms put it this way, teach us so to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days to gain a heart of wisdom. So whether Jesus is coming in this generation or the next or the one after that, or whether Jesus isn't coming again for countless generations, but wants us to think he just might. Because if that's what we think, then just maybe we'll use the time that we have to live, to really live. Maybe we'll use the time that we have to live a life that is really alive, in the sense of our time being full, and not just time that's ticking away aimlessly into nothing. Because now is the time to be a good husband and a good father. Now is the time to be a good wife and a good mother, a good grandparent. Now is the time to be a good student. It's the time to learn, whether it's learning trigonometry or just learning how to listen. Now is the time to be a person of compassion. A person of compassion, not in a general way, but with a specific person or in a particular situation. Now is the time to be a person of humility, a person of forgiveness, to really let go of that grudge you've been holding on to for your sake as well as the next person's. Now is the time to be God's person in your home, at work, in your school, in your community, wherever it is you go. Now is the time to learn how to love and how to be loved. Because many of us aren't quite so sure how to do that either. And we learn to do that in this world, not just the next. All this talk about a second coming, about Jesus coming, isn't about some future time. It's really about now, about how we live today, about being awake, about numbering our own days so we gain a heart of wisdom. And now is the time to be God's person in this love-forsaken world. If you live that way, you don't have to worry whether Jesus comes in this generation or the next or on down the road. Because living as God's person is its own reward. And what you find is that those who see themselves as God's person, those who use their time wisely, who number their days to gain a heart of wisdom, those who live their lives in love. They tend to find that Christ's coming is not something that just happened once in Bethlehem and will happen again in some future day, but that Christ's coming is something that happens over and over and over again. It's not just a second coming, it's a fifth and a tenth and a 27th. In fact, it's a coming of Christ beyond all numbers. Because if you live as Christ's person, then every season is Advent. Every season is one in which Christ brings his gifts of hope and love and grace into our lives now and today. Pray with me. Gracious God, teach us so to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We pray in Christ's name, for Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes. And let all God's people say, Amen.